It's a bit unusual this morning in the sense that it's not so much a sort of preach-teach thing. It's more looking at what we feel are the priorities for this year. Now, there's a few statements I've got to make sort of over that. Number one, it might be a surprise to you, but we serve Christ, Jesus Christ, as Lord. So he's got veto. So this is what... These are our aims. This is what we see it going as. This is the way we see us going, yeah? But it's all held lightly before the Lord. Because if he starts doing stuff or says, you know, there's something else that I want you to do, absolutely fine. But I think it is good to have a plan, a strategy, an idea of where you might want to head. And when a year last August, I thought that God may be calling me to be the pastor of Woody, despite a big long argument we had, I felt him just drop a vision into my heart. And those of you who were involved in the process for calling me will know that a year later, I was presenting that before the church. And so what we've done really is look at that larger vision that I presented to the church as part of my call. And we all thought, okay, let's give it a go. We think God's in this. The church accepted that. That's quite a big vision. It's over 5 years, really. So it's what do we do this year? And this is what this is going to be about. So I'm going to start with two readings. And they'll be up there. If you've got Bibles, yeah, you might want to grab that. There's going to be a few readings through it. Sometimes it's just better to have the Bible there, but whatever you want, if you've got your own apps or whatever. I'm going to read from Isaiah 58, and then I'm going to read from Matthew 28. We're just going to see what something from the Old Testament in the Bible and something in the New Testament gives in terms of what we should be about. To keep us from the idea that, in a sense, we can do what we like here. We just run a holiday camp or, you know, happy days, you know, happy woody time. This is the idea of this is to see, you know, has God got a view on this? What the people who say we're the people of God should be about. Okay, so I'm going to read from Isaiah 58 and verse 6. Is not this the kind of fasting that I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke? To set the oppressed free and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them and not turn away from your own flesh and blood. Then your light will break forth like the dawn and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help and he will say, "Here am I." If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing finger and the malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves on behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness, and your night will become like noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the age-old foundations. And you will be called repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings. And the context of that was, I just chose that out of the chapter, was that his people, the people of God, had gone to him and say, "Hey, we're doing this, we're doing that, we're so great, we're so cool, what are you doing?" And God said, "You're doing the wrong stuff. Here's my heart. It's for the broken. It's for injustice. And if you do these things, then I will bless you, and you'll be able to do more." So let's get something from the New Testament, from Jesus. It's called the Great Commission, Matthew 28:16. So Jesus has been crucified. He's risen from the grave. He's had lots of meetings. He's He's appearing to his 11 disciples. So what he says here is the final bit of this gospel is very, very important. Okay, so from 16, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. I love the honesty of that, that that's kept in the scriptures. The church leaders who were there, that still made it through, some doubted. Isn't that amazing? He's risen from the dead, he's there. And anyway, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always to the very end of the age. So he gave this tiny bunch of people this ridiculous mandate, commission. And here we are 2,000 years later. Right, so that puts a sort of framework around what we perhaps think in Woody we should be about. So, it's a technology day today for sure. Coolio. So, Woody priorities. I should say that all those circles don't mean a thing. Every time I do a PowerPoint, I flick through everything. Oh, that's pretty. I'll have that. So, I don't know. Trinity, atoms, whatever. I don't know. Pretty. I withdraw pretty. I'll substitute cool. Whatever you think. All right. So, I've given you a sort of bit of a, you know, backdrop to this. There's the bigger vision, and there's what we want to focus on for this year. And this year, as I've shared before, really, it's a bit about sort of sorting out the house, if you like, the house of Woody, which is not just the building. The building is important because we need a tool that's usable. And, we're getting into better shape. We're going to be doing some more work, make it more welcoming, keep it tidy. I'm really getting strong in being kept tidy. If you leave something lying around, you haven't got a note on it, I'm going to check it out. Because I love you. We're going to keep it tidy. We're going to have a clean-up day soon, sort out the front, get rid of graffiti and all that sort of stuff. But it's just a tool. Just a tool. And we can look at projects and we can, you know, I'm excited about projects. But when I look out at you guys, I see a lot of very busy people. I see a lot of people doing stuff, committed up to here. And I don't think this is a church where you got the 80-20 rule, which normally applies. You got 80% of the work done by 20% of the people. I think it's bigger than 20%. You're doing a lot of work here, guys. So, the Lord has told me 3 times, slow down. Partly for me, because I will burn out. But he's always trying to look after you guys. Because I see stuff that needs doing. I see stuff in the community. We've got that heart. We want to get stuff sorted. But not this year. This year it's about us being ready. This year it's about us. And in one sense it's about you. So I'm going to read you. I can use this now, can I? Here we go. Marvellous. A plan coming together. Okay. So I'm going to read this from Ephesians. Getting confused with the glasses here. That's the same thing. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity of the faith in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. What this is saying is, it's a countercultural thing in a sense. Because it's not about putting aside a few people and saying, do all the work, and when you're dead, we'll get some more. The idea from that is that the teachers and the leaders of the groups and people working together is to work with the whole fellowship so that all of us are engaged in works of service, which is being a blessing to people, doing acts of kindness, and hopefully stuff, if you like, more organized stuff that can affect the community. So that is, again, part of the sort of overarching, picture here, okay? So, like I said, this is the next stage of implementing the vision for Woody. And really, my heart is about being a blessing to this community. The church, man, we've worked hard at getting it wrong. Jesus Christ came with this incredible message of freedom, but he didn't just speak it, he gave a way to walk in it. Through his sacrifice, his death and resurrection, he gave a way for people to walk in that blessing. And the idea was never to hold it to ourselves. The idea was to give it away. And not to just be thought of a judgmental, narrow-minded bunch of bigots that particularly in this age, in this postmodern age, are often seen as just having one message, and that is don't. And more than any other people, we should be the people of life and love and giving. And, you know, it's up to us individually to try and change that within our own circle of friends and in a community. But we've got an opportunity in this community to be a blessing. To be a blessing. And I guess I've read about, you know, Isaiah, about broken lives and challenging injustice. And from Matthew about making disciples. But all of that really is about being a blessing in the community you're placed in. Okay, the next thing is, I've really got to work hard on not preaching on all of these points, because this is an overview. Prepare the path by prayer. I'll come back to that. How was that for restraint? Gosh. And then later on, when we've done the basics in terms of praying into this place and relationships and all that sort of stuff, looking at projects to follow. All right, so we'll now get to the priorities. All right, so number one is prayer. This is going to be another slide on prayer. Building up the fellowship. By this I mean identity in Christ and relationships. And the reason they sort of go together is that hurt people hurt people. Yeah? Hurt people hurt people. In our brokenness, we can hurt others. Christ came to bring wholeness. So our identity in Christ is very important. Knowing who we are in Jesus, knowing that when you become a Christian, you've not just bolted on a set of beliefs extra to the others. It's a radical change. It's like heart surgery. It's a radical thing. And just looking forward, the idea is that over the next 8 weeks, I'm going to be looking at just some basics of the faith. You know, the Bible, why read the Bible? We're going to be doing prayer after these 8 weeks. Fellowship, the cross. What was the cross all about? We know that Jesus was crucified. What was that all about? What effect can that have on us? And that is all about the basics to enable us to walk with God, to be a changed people. Because God is all about change. His love is so great that he almost can't leave us as we are, in the sense of his love wants the best for us. His love is so great. Stop preaching, get on with the list. So, and then the other key thing is relationships, you know, which I'll come to. So those are like the sort of knowing who we are in Christ, that we can love each other, so our relationships are in a right place. Prophecy and healing. I know it sounds freaky. I know. It sounds scary. I don't even like calling it prophecy. It puts too many people off. You think it's all like, thus saith the Lord, and all that sort of stuff. And next Thursday, and man, okay, it'd be good to know what's going on next Thursday, but in the meantime, we'll trust God. But prophecy is basically, is speaking forth what's on God's heart. It's speaking forth what's on God's heart. And God wants to let people know what's on his heart, what he's thinking. He wants to let people know. And that's where fellowship comes in. So, Paul, prophecy and healing are really important. Being known as a place where healing happens. Again, we've just finished quite a long time. Some of you may have thought it was too long. For me, wasn't long enough. Mark, amazing. We've been looking at the life of Christ. What did Jesus go around doing? He went telling them what's on the Father's heart and healing. And then we've just read, he said, teach the others what I've been teaching you. So there's the connection. So it's about doing in a community what we saw, what we read Jesus doing. And that's what he wants to do. All right? Are you still with me so far? Thank you. Especially thank you. All right. It's about community, especially this community we are. Now, I know that some of you are doing amazing things where you are. We've been through this before. I'm not saying drop everything and come here. What I'm saying is you're doing stuff among your family. You're doing stuff among your friends and your community. But we have been planted here. So it's obvious that we have to get a heart and a vision for this area. And finally, men's work. That's a bit sexist of you, Chris, isn't it? It's just because you're a man. Basically, the women just get on with the most amazing work. They just do it. They have conferences. They have prayer mornings. They have big things. They have lots and lots and lots and lots. And if the guys have a curry, we think we've conquered the world. The curry was fantastic. But we got some way to go, boys. So men's work, these are mandates from the church. Excuse me. I'll come back to the men's work thing later on, obviously. But let me just tell you how we, I should have mentioned this before, but how we sort of distilled these. We took, obviously, the vision that I shared with the church. But at the beginning of February, we had a leaders' day for elders, deacons, and home group leaders. And I shared these as what I thought were the priorities. And we spent a whole day talking and praying and all that. And there are other stuff around this, but this is what we felt as a leadership was what we need to focus on this year. So this is, in effect, a mandate. It's a sort of get on with it from the leadership. We're going to make this, we're going to have a good go at this. We're going to make it work. All right. So let's crack on. Prayer. Oh, my gosh. The idea, really, the aim is that it's part of our culture. It's easy to call a big prayer meeting. But calling one prayer meeting doesn't make it your culture. In the future, it'd be great to have whatever. Prayer meetings, all-day prayer meetings, all-night prayer meetings. The African church have all, when they have a prayer meeting, it's an all-night prayer meeting given. Some of you guys were at the last one. Where's Philippe? It's amazing, isn't it? Just their energy, their passion, it's incredible. The next time they're doing one, I'll let you know. And you can, even if you just come along for a bit, it's incredible. But anyway, we are starting from where we are. I don't want unrealistic expectations, but this is, prayer is key. We want it in the fellowship. It's the key discipline of disciples. The whole thing of prayer, chatting to God. We're going to do, after this, the next 2 months doing this series, we're going to do 4 weeks on prayer. So a lot of this will be coming out, the different types of prayer, etc., etc. Why is it important and all that? But we need as a fellowship to hear from God. We need, and prayer is part of that. Prayer just isn't just giving you lists. It's learning to hear from him. And that is so hard. That is so hard, but we need that. And it's not just about the leaders doing that, it's the whole fellowship learning to rest in God and hear from him. And what I'm hoping is that the work we want to do here is going to come out of that. We're not just going to come up with some random lists. We're going to have stuff that God is speaking to us about, what we need. I'd love prayer to be just whenever we meet, Instead of moaning, instead of gossiping, instead of, let's pray about that. Yeah, cool. Yeah, it's just so much easier to do the other stuff, isn't it? It's so much easier to worry. It's so much easier to criticize. But let me tell you something. You're using words. So the basic currency is the same. It can as easily be prayer as criticism or anything else. This is personal and corporate. I'm bringing requests to the rest of the body. I love this. Over the past 2 weeks, we've had a few situations with Mike Hardway and with with the wonderful Samuel Hobbs. We brought them to the church, and the church has prayed into it. And God has been answering that prayer. And this is a family, and this is where you've got to be able to bring stuff. So making it known to each other, right? So I was thinking about how we can get prayer more into the life of Woody. And like I said, one way to do it is to call prayer meetings and have sort of structured stuff. But I thought, two wires sort of joined in my head. We're already meeting quite a bit. You know, we have a leaders meeting, we have a cell meeting, we have home group meetings. We have quite a lot of meetings. Hopefully no more than we need. Sometimes it feels like that, but you just got to keep careful at meeting. But when people meet, I thought we could do with a model that will just get some prayer going on. So this is, you've heard of the 5-2 diet. This is the 3-5 prayer model diet. It's also the say, pray, stay. Many thanks to the gifted. I honor you, my friend. Because that's what it is, 3-5. So one day you say, oh, let's do a 3-5 on this. Yeah, why not? 15 minutes. What I would like is that every time we have a meeting in Woody, and we're trying to do this as leaders, we say, okay, well, let's do this. And it's the mix. 5 minutes testimony, thanksgiving. Just thanking God. Just amazing when you actually say, I'm not having a very... And then you say, nothing's happening for me. And then you say, let's think about what God has done. Let's thank God for what he's done. And you start, oh, yeah, yeah. As a church, personally, whatever. It's a good discipline. And the scriptures say, enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. So thanksgiving is an introduction to prayer. You're giving thanks, you're saying thank you. And you need to bless the small things. Before God trusts us with some big, heavy-duty stuff, we have loads of people just coming in here and enabling us to help them and bless them, whatever, whatever. You do need to say thank you, Lord, for the small things. You need to get this in a mindset. 5 minutes then praying into that, ask, bring in your requests. And here's the tricky one, 5 minutes listening. Put a timer on your phone and do 5 minutes of silence. You'd swear the battery's gone. That must be at least an hour. But it's a discipline I think we need to learn. I certainly need to learn. Because it's in that silence, and you're bringing your thoughts back to God, that God is able to speak. And he said some really powerful things to us as leaders, as we've waited on God in leaders' meetings and just trying to do this, all right? Now, you can do more, but what I'm saying is that's only 15 minutes. That's only 15 minutes. So that, you know, is a useful tool. Hopefully this will go worldwide. We can write a book. We'll do a book together, Max. We could do speaking tours, videos, retire. That's the plan. In the meantime, tell your friends. Right, okay, let's move on. 3-5, relationships. Okay, oh man, this is tough, isn't it? If only it was just you and Jesus. What is it with people? That's not me as a pastor saying that, obviously. That's me as a Egypt. Okay, a new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Oh, Jesus, could you not have made it a bit softer than that? Couldn't it have been by what we wear? Couldn't it have been by what we got outside the building? That they'd know we were Christians, disciples of Christ. Did you have to make it as hard as that? Well, once he said it, that's it, isn't it? If you love one another, they'll know that you're my people. There's a lot of thought going on here. That's awesome. We should just stop there. Take a look around you. Take a look around you. Seriously, go on. Some of you are, yeah, this is a good opportunity. What's happening around here? Take a look around you. There's not much for me to look at, actually, so I'll just face this way. But take a look around you. That bunch of people that you're looking at are the people in this season that God has put you with. They are the gifts of God to you, to each other. This is your church family in this season, however long that is. This is who you've got. I mean, you can apply to go to Bethel Reading if you think you'll get a better mix, or you can, you know, go to other church or whatever. But if you're at Woody, this is your church family. These are your people. These are the people that God has called you to love, to look out for, to be there for. They're not a bad bunch, honestly. I've got to know some of them. They're not bad. Right. Relationships. I'll mess up the Philippians. Do not look into your own interests, but each of you look to the interests of others. Don't do anything out of your own ambitions, but look to others. Look to be a blessing to others. But let's have a look at this. Matthew 18. This is a key thing. Matthew 18:15 is that verse about if you've got a problem with someone, don't go to someone else and moan about it. Go to that person. If we could just operate that healthy relationship thing. I know it's hard, isn't it? Unfortunately, it's also in Scripture. So if you've got a problem with something going on, the idea is what Jesus says, you go to that person and say, do you know, I'm not happy with the way that, whatever. I mean, you know, try not to make it too moany, but or too perfect, but if you've been hurt by someone, you need to get it sorted with that person. That's the basis of healthy relationships. It's just so much easier to go to someone else and moan about it and see if you can get some agreement on that and start that into a little sort of, you know, and it very quickly becomes a critical thing. And that very quickly becomes a root that divides people. So I'd really encourage you to deal with that. And I know some pastors say if people come to them, they're moaning about someone, you say, have you been to see them yet? And they say, no. You say, well, this meeting's over, really, until that's happened. And that's not a bad way to go. Okay, this was never meant to be easy. That's what I mean about, you know, with just you and Jesus. It's fantastic, isn't it? Because he's great. But it was never meant to be easy because we have relationships in order to bless one another, to challenge one another, for us to be challenged by each other, to, you know, to rub off the sharp bits, if you like. It's all about making it work in relationships. Relationships is absolutely key. How we relate to one another. And I don't believe it's a solo trip. Search the scriptures. Search the Bible. It's all about together, together, together. One another, one another, one another. It's all about that. And that's because people realize it's difficult. So when people see a bunch of people that really love one another and really care for one another, it gets through all the filters. That's amazing. Why'd you do that? Why do you make meals for that person? Why are you concerned about them? What's up? Well, you know, we're in the same church. They're my brother, my sister in Christ. The relationships, we want to encourage people that they have structures, that you're in some sort of arrangement, if you like, in a prayer triplet, in a home group, in a cell. You're in some place where you're working through stuff with others for accountability and all sorts of other reasons. Bang, this is the hardest thing not to spend a long time on, but I'm really going to try and move past this because we'll be covering this basically after we've done the prayer session. So looking sort of, you know, into the summer now, we'll do prayer and then we're going to look at Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, and spend some time in that. And a lot of that is about community and about the church and about identity in Christ. Because like I said, back at the beginning, hurt people. So that's just one of the areas that we're looking at. The other thing is, like I said earlier, establishing prophecy and healing as the norm. The things that God has given to enable us to bless each other, to enable us to be a blessing to another, to be able to go into, just go in a cafe or a shop or something like that and just say, oh, I just feel God is saying this. It's crazy, isn't it? But if you do it properly, people respond to that. People respond to that, and it makes an impression. Ruth and Gary are not here, but over a year ago, Ruth was trying this out. They went to a cafe. They went up to a cafe up the road, and she was sitting there just waiting on God for a word, and she felt God was saying, just tell the waitress when she comes round, it's all going to be okay. She said, oh, my gosh. You know Ruth Lever, she's so honest. She sort of struggled with that for a while. Eventually, she got the courage up. She said, it's all going to be okay. And the woman said, oh, my gosh. She said, how do you know? How do you know? Well, tell me what. She said, well, I just... They've just started the business. You know, it's gone over to new management about a year ago, and they got a different vision. And it's a really scary one. It's a totally different, I'm not going to go into catering talk, but it's a different way of doing stuff. And they were really scared about it. And she shared into that situation about that. We went up for the Christmas meal with the staff, and it was that time or time just after that, and I was chatting to them, and she said, "So yeah," she said, where's your group from?" I said, "Oh, Woody Bap, we're down there." She said, "You know, we're the staff group from there." She said, "Oh," she said, a woman from your church connection. Tiny word, year later, connections. People, God is wanting to speak to people. People are wanting to hear from God. Guess who the people are within the middle of that equation? It's us. It's us. So, that's the prophecy thing. And healing, well, it flows out of listening prayer. We get into a place of prayer and listening to God and asking. So often we just don't ask. In the book of James it says, you don't receive because you don't ask. Just saying, God, have you got a word for someone? Have you got a word for them? Honestly, God is so polite in that whole thing. He doesn't write a word on a rock and throw it at your head. He says, "Oh, you're asking me? Yeah, well, as it happens, yeah, there's a word there. Have you got a, you know, Lord, is there someone that needs healing?" Early days, we need to flow in this. We need to build in this. Leaders, you need to lead in this. It's all, you know, example is the most powerful thing. That's why Christ said, "Go, you know, teach them all that I, you know, taught you." But the teaching was through example as well as the speaking. And keep practicing. You're going to get it wrong loads. You're going to get it wrong. People say, what if I pray for healing and they don't get healed? What if they do? Is the standard? You can't say anything else, can you? You can't say anything else. Often, if they're non-Christians, they'll appreciate it. I've had people who just pray for them and I say, "No, I just really appreciate you taking the time." It's an act of kindness to just do that. Sensitively and carefully, but do it. All right. Just some of the connections we could say is about doing business here. I've said this all before. prayer walk in the area. Maybe in home groups themselves, you just want to just prayer walk it and get an idea. That's just walking around praying, basically. It's a complicated model. And you can listen. You say, "God, what do you want to pray about?" And you never know who you meet doing that sort of stuff. And you get an idea. You get off the main road and see what's going on back in the streets and stuff, you know, and find the occasional cannabis farm. not that I was looking, but it was on fire at the time. some of our main connections, and you know, are not. I'm only saying this because each of these just starts so small. I know for each of these, some of us have been just using these places, and we've just got to know the people in there. So now we've got conversations, and this is just natural stuff. You know, and in some of these situations, being able to pray, some of these situations, being able to share testimony. Just out of being there, just through being there. So I just encourage you to maybe pick a one or two and just focus on that. Just, you know, be a regular there. Pray into it. Say, "God, what you got?" It's just being available. They may know no other Christian, no one else is able to bless them in that way. With the Cruis pub, obviously, it was a great thing over Christmas. It's gone quiet recently, and that's okay. We'll just go at this pace. I haven't been able to do anything sort of recently. Things just haven't happened. But we had that fantastic thing where we went over at Christmas and sang carols. And it made a huge impact. And that was just another step. But, you know, funnily, you've actually got to put yourself in these places. You've actually got to do this, you know what I mean? So that's just the connection. the other one, and this is really important, and if I can just say about this place, Cates Community Centre on Cates Terrace, if you're going into town, you walk into town, and you want a good coffee. The coffee there is awesome. Cheaper than anywhere in town. It's about £1.50 for a fresh Americano. And it's amazing. And you can get to talk to John, who takes delight in serving this brilliant coffee. But we had a fantastic connection there because Josh and the guys did mural paintings there. So we've got a lot of a good name with them, you know. And so obviously it's a bit off the drag here. But that's some of the main connections you've got. You're going to have your own. What I'm saying is that these have all started with just going in, buying something, and then going back and doing it again, getting to know them. The men's work, how clever is that? It's not a mandate. Well, it's not a mandate. It's a mandate. You did try and warn me, didn't you? Yeah. Well, it's sort of, it is mandates, but it's also a mandate. So basically, it is a sort of get on with it, guys. Basically, there is a real power in guys being real with each other and praying for each other. There is something really powerful in that, and being an example. And so for the guys at Woody, there's a real challenge here, setting up those sort of relationships. And looking down the line, it'd be great to be, doing stuff where you can invite others to. You know, we've got this gathering coming up. If you want to know, Matt, do you want to put your hand up? Matt, there. You can do a twirl if you want, but you're not really a twirl sort of guy here, really. and also there's a WhatsApp group. Are you the admin guy on that? Yeah. And Marv, yeah. So if you want to, if you got that WhatsApp on your phone and you want to be part of that, it's like a communication thing. That's really handy for putting out all sorts of banter. There was an awful lot of banter after the Wales-England match. There wasn't so much after the Irish match. Not sure what happened there, but yeah. But it's also a place where prayer requests are put on. So it's a really good mix. It's like the banter, the prayer and stuff like that. But we need to take that on. We need to be doing stuff together. And we need to get into a place where we're actually being real with each other. Because guys being real and praying for each other and being in real fellowship is going to be, I believe, the key to when guys, you know, want to join us. They're going to be looking, well, what do you guys do? What do you guys do together? We say, yeah, well, we pray together. We do fun stuff together. There's an awful lot of that, but there is a mandate to do this stuff now. Okay, so here's the summary, key bits. Learning to listen to God. Getting the place ready, physically, but more really in terms of our attitudes and relationships. Right, oh, look at that, the image came out. I was so scared of this. The last time I tried to do this, I had a dreadful traumatic experience, which I can't even talk about, using an apple to go through another system and then put something on the presentation. Do you see what that is? Can any of you work out what that is? Shout. It's a crackpot with a... Yeah. I was at this minister's conference thing, and this guy shared this picture about being crackpots. And he said, but if you put a candle in, it's the only way that you see the light. It's only crackpots that show the light. I thought, that's really, really powerful. And then we were in a meeting recently, weren't we? And someone had it. Might have been you. So at the same thing. So listen, we're never going to... I'm a very, very flawed pot. I won't... You know, we... A whole different thing if I say cracked, but flawed pot. But that's okay, because that's what God uses. So it's not about, I'm ready now, I'm perfect, I got everything sorted. We have all got flaws and cracks, but that's how the light shines out. That's what the image is. It is a crack pot, but that's how you get to see the light. That's how you see the candle.